There's no word yet on where or when a potential meeting between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un might occur. At a news conference today, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said he hadn't heard anything directly from Pyongyang. Well, our next guest is scheduled to brief members of the State Department this week about North Korea. Michael Madden runs the website North Korea Leadership Watch, which is affiliated with the U.S. Korea Institute at Johns Hopkins University. He joins us from Salt Lake City. Michael, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me.
And this potential meeting hasn't even been reported yet in the North Korean media. Why do you think that is?
North Korea, I mean, it's about 3 days old. North Korea needs to have some meetings. Kim Jong-un needs to have some meetings. They might even have a public meeting, like a Politburo session or something like that. So they need to process this themselves and come to a consensus and then make an announcement. They're gonna take their time a little bit on this. But we should see something probably by mid to end week.
Yesterday, the White House spokesman Raj Shah would not rule out that Kim Jong-un could come to the White House or Trump could go to Pyongyang for the meeting. Do you have any sense of where it might occur?
The best possible place for all parties involved, both the United States, the DPRK, and South Korea, is most likely going to be someplace in the joint security area at Panmunjom. I mean, that seems to be the best place. Two other proposals that are out there is Jeju Island, which is the peace island in South Korea. Kim Jong-un's grandfather was born on Jeju Island. And then the remote possibility is Beijing, China. I don't see how that would be a place where they would meet. But most likely it's going to be in Panmunjom, which is the same general area where Kim Jong-un is supposed to be meeting South Korea President Moon Jae-in in late April.
That's in the demilitarized zone?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. And why do you think that that is the place?
It's basically neutral ground, and it's between the two Koreas. It's on the border. It's the least controversial place. It's also the safest place that this meeting could happen.
On ABC's This Week yesterday, the Deputy Press Secretary Raj Shah was pressed on what concrete steps the North Koreans would have to take ahead of any meeting beyond promises that they've made. Let's listen.
This potential meeting has been agreed to. There are no additional conditions being stipulated. But again, they cannot engage in missile testing. They cannot engage in nuclear testing. And they can't publicly object to the U.S.-South Korea planned military exercise.
But last week, Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said the meeting wouldn't take place until the White House sees some concrete actions. How do you think the North Koreans view that? And do you think that the White House is being consistent in its message to North Korea?
I don't know how far the Trump administration is going in terms of no nuclear tests or no missile activity. I mean, nuclear testing and missile activity can include very small things like testing missile engines at a factory or maybe doing construction work at one of North Korea's known nuclear sites. And that stuff is observed by satellite image watchers and kind of circulated in the open source North Korea intelligence world. And so maybe that might be applying. But I think the general sense I get is none of the big activities, none of these ballistic missile tests and none of these nuclear detonations. And the North Koreans have a couple of months that they don't have to do that.
And do you think that they won't do that in the next couple of months?
I don't get a sense that they will. Kim Jong-un, this is something Kim Jong-un has agreed to. And so I think there, you know, if he wants to scupper this whole thing, then he could go and launch a couple of ballistic missiles. But as I say, there's no reason to think that Kim Jong-un is going to necessarily do that in the next couple of months.
Three Korean Americans are being detained in North Korea. Is that, do you think, a sticking point for talks?
It might be a sticking point to talks. However, my sense of the three detained American citizens is that this is something that North Korea might undertake. It's certainly something that Kim Jong-un and his close aides are probably talking about right now as something to do. So they might release them as a gesture of goodwill, or they might release them during or after the meeting by May that they're talking about. They might release them then and there as a grand gesture. The release of detained American citizens has usually come about by a high-level interaction between the United States and the DPRK.
As you know, there's been a lot of rhetoric on both sides. President Trump has promised fire and fury against Kim Jong-un. He called him Little Rocket Man over the past year. But over the weekend, he gave a political rally in Pennsylvania and seemed to try to de-escalate the situation. Let's listen.
South Korea came to my office after having gone to North Korea and seeing Kim Jong-un. And, no, it's very positive. No. After the meeting, you may do that, but now we have to be very nice because let's see what happens. Let's see what happens.
Michael Madden, what did you make of that, and how do you think North Korea viewed that, or do you think that they were watching?
I'm sure they've collected it. I'm sure they've seen it in the media. North Korea does have access to U.S. media. I'm sure they've collected it and processed it. They're not going to – I don't think they're going to necessarily respond to that in kind. I think that their momentum to have this interaction is sort of what's going to keep North Korea from – and even if North Korea says something, when we go and see it, if it's reported, well, we will – we have to look at what the source is. So if this comes from one of North Korea's state media outlets or a media outlet that's linked to Pyongyang, then we may not take it as seriously. If it comes from something like the foreign ministry or the North Korean government, one of those places, then maybe we should take it seriously. But the North Koreans understand that there's a certain amount of rhetoric on both of their sides. And I don't think they're going to take it that seriously.
If a meeting does happen, what is your sense of what it would be like, especially if it's just the two of them, Trump and Kim Jong-un?
It's interesting, two very interesting personalities. I think they can kind of shoot from the hip or say, you know, not provocative things, but entertaining things, but the things that really sort of, it was a cut to the core. This meeting won't be a one-on-one. Kim Jong-un is not going to – I can say from Kim Jong-un's side of things, he's not going to go in unescorted. But it will be interesting to see. While people are saying we have to be cautious and not be optimistic, I think in terms of a social dynamic between these two gentlemen, it'll be pretty positive in terms of the social dynamic.
I have one more question for you. People may be wondering as they listen to you talk so fluently about what's going on with North Korea. Who is this guy in Salt Lake City talking about North Korea? How did you get so interested in North Korea and start your website and follow it so closely?
Just by accident, I was talking to somebody years ago, and they said you should maybe look at North Korea, and I was just looking at real basic things. This is about 2006 or thereabouts, 2007. And I just found there was kind of a dearth of information of doing what they call basic intelligence, you know, who, what, when, very simple information. And I just, I don't know, just started doing it and found in the small world of professional North Korea watchers, I could derive a lot of support.
But at this moment, you think this is a moment of hope, or as somebody who watches it so closely, what do you think?
I believe that it is a moment. It's certainly better than anything we've seen or I've seen in the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years in terms of North Korea. It certainly makes things a little more interesting than sitting here waiting for some missile tests and seeing what kind of officials were with Kim Jong-un. But Kim Jong-un is not really one who lacks for any activity. Under the old man, under Kim Jong-il, we could go 3, 4, 5 days without any kind of activity. And that gave me the opportunity to catch up on more long-term projects on North Korea. And Kim Jong-un's a busy guy. And so we've had party congress, party meetings, and this is pretty exciting stuff. We'll see what develops.
That's Michael Madden, who is a visiting scholar at the U.S. Korea Institute at Johns Hopkins University, which hosts the website he runs. It's called North Korea Leadership Watch. Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.